Well, let's go to the word of the Lord today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Technology today has been so slow, but it looks like we're ready to go. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. One of the most familiar verses in the Bible, I would say. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to live for Jesus. Come on, we're going to serve God. We're going to do His will. Praise the Lord. You do what you want to do, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I want to preach to us here today about just a simple thought. Choose Jesus. Choose Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated today. What a powerful declaration from Joshua, the children, or the leader of the children of Israel. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It's more than just a decoration we put somewhere on a wall in our house. They are words to live by. Joshua could stand before the people and he could declare his complete allegiance to the Lord because he had lived a life of continually choosing to serve God. He had made the choice to reject the golden calf. When all of Israel was choosing to satisfy their flesh, Joshua made the right decision. He made the choice to serve the Lord by serving Moses. Choosing the humble place of a servant. Joshua made the choice to believe the promises of God about the land he had given them. And he stood in the minority against a majority that chose doubt and fear and unbelief. But Joshua chose to have faith in God. God gives us choices. God gives us choices. And don't think that he doesn't pay attention to the choices we make. I pray today that the choices we're making are pleasing to God. And oh, that he'd be pleased with the way that we choose to go. Let him be pleased with what we choose to allow into our life and what we choose to reject and refuse. I pray that God is pleased with the choices that we make. And if not, if God is not pleased with what we're choosing, if we're choosing things contrary to the will of God, wrong choices in life, then I pray that today it would be a time and a decision that we would say, I'm going to make a different choice. I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. I surrender to his plan in my life. Amen. It's time to choose his way, the way he's prepared for me. Somebody today, all of us today, we need to choose Jesus. In our daily Bible reading, one chapter that stands out is Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, it's a long chapter. It 2,075 words. It is actually the eighth longest chapter in the Bible. Many people focus on the first part of that chapter, which covers the blessings of God for those who obey him, the favor of God, all the good things that God will bring to our life. But don't forget, there's a prerequisite there. We have a part to play in this too, okay? We have to be obedient to his word and to his plan for our life. Deuteronomy 28:1 declares, and it shall come to pass if, Don't forget that little word, if, there. If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. If we obey God, if we diligently keep his commands, if we follow his voice, then God will set us on high above all the other nations. And then come the familiar verses that we like to quote in Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 2. It says, and all those blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shall thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies to rise up against that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Verse 11, it says, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. God's blessings cover every area of our life. Every area of our life. When he decides to bless us, when he decides to bless us, he does a good job of it. Blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming in, blessed going out. In other words, everywhere we go, the blessings of God will be there. Hallelujah. Our children will be blessed. Our work will be blessed. The food we eat will be blessed. We're blessed when we come in. We're blessed when we leave. The Lord fights for us. Hallelujah. Isn't this awesome? The Lord fights for us. It says the enemies that come against you, they'll come in one way, they'll go out, they'll be scattered seven ways. I'd rather the Lord fight for me than the Lord fight against me. If you read the story of Israel, there were some times the Lord fought against them. Because he was not pleased with them. But, oh, I want the blessings. I want to be the lender and not the borrower. God make us the head and not the tail. Come on, it doesn't get any better than that. That's the blessings of the Lord. Why would we not want to give everything we have to receive these blessings from God? Whatever the cost, whatever the commitment, it's worth it today. Caught between the world and the things of God. If you're riding the fence today, I want to tell you this ought to be an easy decision. This ought to be an easy decision to make. There's no life like this life we have living for the Lord. God is good to his children. God is good to us. Oh, where would we be without the blessings of God in our life? I've seen it so clearly over the years. Families that chose to live for God versus those who just really weren't ever able to make that full commitment. Those who just, they go all in compared to those who are, they're just never really faithful. Those who put God first and those who, well, he's somewhere down the list of priorities somewhere. Just give it a few years and then look at the difference. Let them have kids and grandkids and just watch the difference. There's nothing like the blessings of the Lord. Thou shalt be above
and not beneath, if thou hearken to the commandments of the Lord thy God. But Deuteronomy 28 doesn't stop there. In fact, the majority of this chapter goes beyond just the blessings of God. More of the chapter actually talks about the judgment of God if we don't obey him. Deuteronomy 28 and 15 says, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. It doesn't matter how fast you run, they're going to overtake. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed. And until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. 21 says, the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until ye have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption and with a fever and with inflammation and with an extreme burning and with the sword and with blasting and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. No one in the right mind would choose these things, to be cursed and destroyed and to perish, to deal with pestilence and to be consumed. But for those who don't obey God, for those who don't listen to his commandments, that's what's in store for them. That's what's in store for their family tree. Now, some might try to say, well, I've been living my own way for years and it hasn't caught up with me yet. They still seem to be blessed, and oh, they're still having a great time, and sin can be pleasurable for a season, but oh, how quickly it will turn. And then what will they do? I think of a family that we knew before we came here in Texas, and for so long, this family, it seemed like they were so very blessed and living for the world and just partying it up and doing everything their flesh desired. There was no heart for the things of God. Just no consideration for what God would have them do. And just living a life of complete worldliness. And for a time it seemed like they were so blessed. And they had a business, and the business just flourished. And they seemed so blessed financially. And they were popular people, and everybody in town wanted to be them. But then sin began having its effect. And their business, eventually, it closed. And their marriages fell apart. And their health deteriorated. And they couldn't make it through the day without drinking to block all the pain and suffering out. And their kids were hooked on drugs. And eventually, it finally went so far that some of them murdered some of their family members over money. Hebrews 11:24 says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Sin can be pleasurable for a season. But Moses made the choice. He said, I'm going to live by faith, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He thought it better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of all of Egypt. Why was that? It says because Moses was looking ahead to a greater reward. If we have to go through suffering in this life, if we have to fight some battles, if we have to go through some hard times, if we have to pay a price, we realize there's a reward that's coming. There's a reward that's on the way, and I'm going to choose to live for God. I make the choice to live by faith. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I make the choice today. I choose Jesus. How long is eternity? How long is eternity? In all the vocabulary that this world has given us, we can't fully explain eternity because we don't know how to describe something we've never experienced. But the one who was before time and the one who will be after time is no more, he has called us to make the choice to live for him. And if we make that choice, if we surrender our lives to his plan, he promises that we will be with him in eternity. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 18 says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. You need to comfort one another today. There's a reward that's coming. Jesus is returning for his church. Jesus is coming back for a bride that made a choice, that said, I choose Jesus. I don't choose the things of this world. I don't choose the way of the flesh, but I choose Jesus. Oh, there's a comfort in those words. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That right there is worth it all. So shall we ever be with the Lord. We don't fully understand it. We don't know everything about how eternity is going to be. We just can't, our mind can't grasp it all. But the ultimate blessing, the greatest reward, will be that we're with Jesus for eternity. Hallelujah. Oh, everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to go to hell. Everybody wants to be saved, but are we making the choices in our life that will save us? Have we repented of our sins? Have we turned from our evil ways? Have we been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Have we received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues? Are we living a life of holiness and separation from this world? Are we answering the call of God on our life? Are we doing what he wants us to do every single day? Have we come to the decision once and for all that we choose Jesus? Come on, if you're riding the fence today, if you're not fully committed, if you're still kind of wondering where you're at in all of this, let's choose Jesus. Let's make up our mind. I'm all in. I'm going to give him my whole life. I'm going to serve him with all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my strength. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Have you ever been on a team, whether it was softball or football, maybe it was golf, maybe it was Monopoly or whatever it was, and at some point you realized, I'm on the wrong team. Can I switch, coach? Can I switch teams? If you're on the wrong team today, it's time to make a switch. Shut up, oh shut. I don't doubt that there's times that people come to this church that they might be on the wrong team. Satan has them in his grasp. Satan controls their every thought. Satan controls their every move. Satan directs them, tells them what to do. Addiction has a hold of their life. They're a slave to sin. There could be even times that people come to this church and they have literally made a covenant with evil. They've made a covenant with the devil. They've made a covenant that said, I will serve you. And they have been dedicated perhaps even through witchcraft and satanic rituals to the things of Satan. They're on the wrong team. They're on the wrong team. And sometimes even we've heard that there'd be those that would come even to churches like this church. They're not here for any good, but they're here to see what's going on. And they're here to pray against the things of God because they're praying to another God. But oh, I want to tell you, sometimes even them, they could realize they're on the wrong team. They're serving the wrong God. They're living the wrong life. They're following the wrong scriptures. And they realize, I've got to make a change. I've got to change teams. I choose Jesus. And the enemy will try to tell them, no, you can never be free. You never can be released from what you have spoken and what's been spoken and done to you. But I've come to tell you today, the blood of Jesus Christ covers all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ sets us free. I proclaim victory today through Jesus Christ. I can't break you loose, but the blood of Jesus can set you free. Oh, all you got to do is throw up your hands and say, I choose Jesus. Lord, forgive me. God, cleanse me. Make me new. I choose Jesus. The prophet Joel talks about those standing in the valley at that battle of Armageddon. Joel 3 and 14 says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. There will be multitudes in that valley of decision. But at that point in history, it will be God doing the deciding, not man. It will be a valley of judgment. The choice that we have is being made right now. Our part in this, we're choosing right now, today, in every day of our life. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Oh, let's make the choice today. Let's make the choice today. From the days of Moses to Joshua, and then on through the judges and the kings of Israel. The children of Israel, they struggled with their choice. They'd fall away from God. Judgment would come and they would repent and they'd turn back to the Lord. And over and over and over again, this cycle, it just repeated itself. And they would allow idol worship and they'd serve other gods and the nation would decline. And then God would send a prophet or a judge and the people would choose the Lord again. But soon they'd go back and they'd serve Satan again. And even kings and queens, they chose to worship false gods. Even priests, they chose to get into idol worship. And they led the people into worshiping idols. But then God sent a man named Elijah to give them another choice. 1 Kings 18 and 20. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. The people were lukewarm. They were caught in between. How long shall you halt between two opinions? And it says the people answered him not a word. They didn't reject him, but they didn't repent either. They lacked the courage and the strength to either defend their position or change it. They were living in between. We've got a choice to make today. We've got to make a choice. By not making a choice, we're actually making a choice. choosing something other than God. Oh, that there would be men and women and young people and children here today who would have the boldness to make a choice. Oh, in a day when the pressure is on to just kind of go along with the flow, to not really rock the boat, to just kind of let things unfold as they will, there's got to be men and women of God who take a stand for truth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't you know that the enemy's trying to pull at everything he can to tear down the foundation that God has given us? There's got to be men and women of God that say, I'm going to stand for holiness. I'm going to stand for separation from the world. There comes a time I got to clean some stuff out of my house. I've got to get rid of some music. I've got to get rid of some apps on my phone. There's some clothes that I don't need to be wearing. I got to clean my closet out because I've got to make a choice. Hallelujah. We stand for righteousness. We don't go the way of the world. We protect our homes, our families, our church. We've got to protect ourselves from the influences of sin. It may not be a popular choice, but we realize today that not choosing is in fact making a choice. Some time ago, we made some changes in our house, and wasn't necessarily that we were choosing the wrong things, but I felt like there were some influences that we needed to make sure we stopped these things. So we made some changes in what kind of media and how much media we were allowing. We made some changes about what we were spending our time doing. And one of the kids, I won't say which one, made the statement, wow, well, we got all these rules now. What's going on around here? We can't do this and can't do that. Sometimes you got to say, you know what? I realize that by just letting the status quo remain, I'm making a choice and it's not the right choice. By just letting the flow of entertainment media come in from the world, I'm making a choice. It's not that, and we think, well, I'm not choosing against you, God, but we're allowing things from the world into our life. I want to tell you today, Hollywood has an agenda. Hollywood has an agenda. And so the more of this world that we allow in, the more we're opening ourselves up to other choices. But we've got to choose to stand for righteousness. We've got to choose. We're not going to go the way of the world, but we're going to dedicate ourselves and consecrate ourselves. Of course, you know the story here. The prophets of Baal, they made their sacrifice. They prayed, they shouted, they danced around their altar. They cut themselves. They did everything they could to get Baal's attention. But there was no answer. Finally, Elijah declared, "It's my turn. It's enough." And he built an altar. He covered the sacrifice and the wood and the altar and the ditches that were dug around the altar. He covered and poured water. It filled with water. And then he prayed a simple prayer. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36. "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Verse 38 says, "Then the fire of the Lord fell, and it consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench." And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. He is the God." They made a choice that day. What other choice could they make? It was right before them. God had proved Himself to them. And I want to tell you, God proves Himself to us over and over and over again. He is faithful. He has blessed us. He has made a way in our life. He brought us out of sin. He brought us out of a pit. He saved our soul. What other choice can we make? 1 Kings 18 and 40. And Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. When we truly make our choice for Jesus, it will require killing off some other things in our life. It requires a separation. There's some things that maybe even the pastor doesn't preach about, but God starts talking to us. And we realize that, you know what, this might not be for everybody, but for me, this is a temptation that I don't need. This is someplace I don't need to go. Come on, what happened to old-fashioned convictions? Why do we wait for the pastor to come up with every rule and stipulation and every guideline that keeps us from the things of the world? Why can't we go to a place of prayer and God start talking to us and saying, "You know what, that thing you're doing, that music you're listening to, that place you're going, those people you're allowing into your life, that's not pleasing unto me." And we develop some personal convictions that says, "As for me and my house, we're not doing that. As for me and my house, we're not going there. As for me and my house, we're not going to allow that, but we're going to choose Jesus." Hallelujah. And then we realize that, you know what, that may just be for me. There's some people, they come up with a personal conviction and they go to the pastor and they think, "Well, he didn't tell the whole church that they can't wear a red tie." And they may have a good conviction about it. And for them, it may be something from the Lord that the red tie gives them pride or something. You know, I don't know. Sometimes people think their personal convictions need to apply to everybody. And then they start getting this haughty spirit. They start looking down at everybody else and thinking, "Well, I'm so holy and you're so not." And their personal convictions take them to a place where they're prideful, and God hates pride. We've got to stay in the Word when it comes to convictions. We've got to stay in the Word when it comes to preaching standards for the church. But all of us here today, we need to allow God to speak to us, because there could be some personal things in our life that it's a stumbling block. When we truly make our choice for Jesus, it will require killing off some things in our life. And some of the last words of Moses to the children of Israel, we read in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 15. He says, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day unto you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life." Choose life, that both thou and thy seed, your children, may live. Why is it that many people make the choice so selfishly. They look in the mirror and say, I'm going to make the choice for you because I want to do this and I want to do that. They don't look at who's tagging along after. We've got a lot of parents, young parents here today, new parents, soon to be parents. Don't ever forget, it's not just you. It's not just you. But choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. There's some times, parents, it's not easy to live for God. There's times, parents, it's not easy to be faithful. There's times, parents, it may not even be easy to come to church sometimes. Okay, now I'm not talking about when you're sick and all that. You know, there's things that happen. But there's times that we make the choice, not just because it's easy or not, but because I've got children that are following along. Would you stand with me in closing today? James 1 and 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What's a double-minded man? Somebody who can't make up their mind. They want to go this way, but they want to do that. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And so they end up riding the fence. How many of you remember our Bible or our youth revival? Brother Kerry Jones was preaching about riding the fence. Y'all remember that? And some people ride the fence. God's on this side. The devil's on that side. They just, you know, they want a little bit of the world, but they don't want to be lost, so they try to stay in the church, and they're riding the fence. But then they hear the laugh of the enemy. And he says, don't you know, I own the fence. By not making the choice, they were in effect choosing something other than God. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's my job as a pastor to hopefully lead us in a way towards heaven. But ultimately, you have to make the choice. I stand before you today and say, you choose what you're going to choose, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I wonder if there'd be some husbands and fathers that you'd get your family together and you'd say, we're going to the altar today. Family, we're choosing Jesus. Maybe there's some that you mothers would say, you know what? I'm the one standing in the place to make the decision today, and I'm going to get my family, and we're choosing Jesus. Maybe there's some, you're all alone here today. Your family is elsewhere. But as for you, you're making the decision right now. I'm choosing Jesus. Is there some young people here today that maybe you're the only one from your family in the church, but you'll make a decision today? I'm going to choose Jesus. I'm going to choose Jesus. Come on, would you get your family together? Would you come to this altar? Would you say, no matter what the cost, no matter what the sacrifice, no matter what the trials are that come, I choose Jesus. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to serve the Lord. I make a decision today. I make a commitment today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, come on. This way may not be easy, but it's worth it. It's worth it. I've got to choose the Lord. I've got to choose to live for God. I've got to choose to do what's right.